ask you, how sure are you of your relationship with Christ? What's your security like? Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon continues with our journey through Hebrews, and today we focus in on chapter 6, verses 4 through 12, the issue of assurance. Now, it's a challenge for a lot of folks. Just how sure are we of our salvation? How secure are we in the grace of God in Christ? Those are questions we hope to answer over the course of the next two programs as we spend our time looking at this crucial issue of assurance and just how necessary it is for not only our growth in Christ, but our maturity and stability. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon for today's Abounding Grace.
I invite you to turn this morning to the book of Hebrews. We're returning to our study after a few weeks, and we come this morning to 6:4 through 12. I'm going to back up and read from 5:11, and this is obviously a very important section in the book, probably the strongest warning that is in the book, and we're right in the heart of it this morning. So I'll be reading to set the whole context from 11 all the way 5:11 to 6:12. This is the word of the Lord. Speaking before this of the eternal priesthood and the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And now our text. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the ages at the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And there will end the reading of God's word. Well, there's no doubt that this morning we come to one of the most difficult passages in the Bible. I don't see how you can see that it's not. It's a very challenging passage that has caused a lot of people to fear, and one that has caused a lot of distress for people, and in the history of interpretation, a lot of debate over this particular passage. I thought reading this week and thinking about all these things, I was caught by a comment one pastor made that it's really not difficult to scare Christians, to scare true Christians, that they will only find out on the day of judgment that they're not really true Christians and will be headed off to hell. That's an easy thing to accomplish. That's a really easy thing to accomplish for sincere, true Christians today. And I'm aware of that looking at a passage like this. Let me say up front emphatically that that is not the intention of this warning in Hebrews. That is not at all what it is intending to accomplish or to do. To set the context properly today, I want everyone to look down at verse 9 of chapter 6. And I want you to see his intention here. So it's set up front and you understand his goal in this particular passage and that you don't miss it. But beloved, notice this in verse 9. Though we speak this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. And then he says down in verse 11, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have what? The full assurance of hope until the end. Now, I would think if I don't accomplish that today, by the end of this sermon, I've somewhat failed. His goal, he just said, is assurance for you. And that's why I titled the message that. An issue of assurance, an issue of perseverance and assurance. And we're going to be looking at that here. But that's the goal. And he's really concerned. So what he's doing in this particular passage is explaining for you the worst possible outcome in being tied to the church of Jesus. What would that be? It's denying Jesus. It's denying Jesus and ending up in hell. That's the worst possible outcome. And that's what he wants us to wrestle with here for a moment. What is the trajectory to that? What is the path toward that? And what does that look like? And I think the whole history of the church has proven that this is a problem, that some indeed have fallen away from the living God. That's Hebrews language. Well, he's dealing with a very real problem in the church. He's dealing with a very real problem within the kingdom of God. And what is it called? It's called apostasy. The problem of knowing the faith, receiving the faith, having all these good things said to you, having received many good benefits, and turning your back on it all and walking away from it. Knowing all of it. That's apostasy. And that is the one of the great purposes of this text, that he's calling us to say, don't cast faith aside in Jesus. Don't ever turn away from Jesus. He's the only way, truth, and life. Hold on to him confidently till the end. He'll make good on everything he promised. So what we're really getting here today in this complex section of Hebrews is an anatomy of apostasy. We're looking at apostasy. We're looking it right in the eye. We're looking at what it looks like. He wants us to understand it so that we would be kept from it and that we would persevere to the end by God's grace. So that's the purpose of this particular text. So that's what I want to look at briefly with you this morning, his warning against this reality of apostasy. He then rehearses the consequences of apostasy, and then he concludes with this great encouragement that he will give them of endurance and faith in Christ to the end. What was the author worried about in first century with these Christians, these Hebrew Christians? He was worried because they were giving up. They were tempted to give up, some of them. And they were facing all these problems in the world that they never anticipated in being a Christian. Right? I mean, it's easy to say, here, sign on the dotted line and everything's going to get great for you and you'll be health and wealth and prosperity and you're just going to be happy. And Jesus warned against this kind of thinking, that when tribulation arises because of the word, many people stumble because they don't understand what they've come to and what commitment in Christ looks like and what it is and what the faith is. He's been concerned in this book with a dangerous spiritual condition that has arisen among these early Jewish Christians. We've picked up on the strong language so far, haven't we? Haven't we listened to him and picked up on what he's really going after here? Some were drifting. Remember he said that. Therefore, we must pay the most close attention to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away from them. And we've studied. Some were hardening their hearts to the word of God, and they were not listening to the voice of Jesus. And he said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the wilderness. But last time he kind of zeroed in a little further on the problem. He was concerned, and he's been concerned, about their entire attitude to the ministry of the word and the gospel in the Christian community. I have to say, I think that's maybe one of the greatest pressures that I felt as a pastor in the ministry. You know, people just are never quite satisfied with the ministry of the word. And so they judge a church based on what they think it should be. You know, we want a better this, and we want a better experience, and we want better music, and we want a better this. And you can go all the way to the light show and the smog things. But the heart of his concern last time had to do with what? Spiritual maturity. By this time, you guys all should be teachers. See, he wasn't looking at milk Christians. That's what we were amazed at. You people should, of all people, be the mature Christians. You are the mature Christians. And so much so, you've been given so much, you all should be teaching the faith by now. That's how you should have progressed. But the reality is you have now need of milk. You have regressed in need of milk. And I told you, I have hard things to explain to you. Remember, he said that right up front. I'm about to talk about the priesthood, and this is deep doctrine of the priesthood, of the eternal priesthood of Christ and all that he's accomplished for you. And the reality is you're uninterested in it. I'm about to explain all of this. Remember what he said, but you're sluggish. You're dull of hearing. Did you see that right there at the beginning about this? We have much to say and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. You're lazy and you're uninterested in God's word. And we looked at last time, well, it's always been a history, in the history of the church, a big problem. And he was concerned about their spiritual state because of this. People just don't think about these things, which direction they're going. You know, I said, it's one thing if a church is reforming and they're starting somewhere and they're heading to be reformed. It's a totally different thing when a church has it all and regresses out of it. That's dangerous, he's saying. So he's concerned with the attitude to the word. And he's been concerned about this, that this path of regression is going somewhere. The attitude probably went like this, remember? You're spending all this time on doctrine, Pastor. You're going to talk about a priesthood? I mean, come on, that's not the real problems we're dealing with in the world right now with persecution. You know, we're being marginalized, we're being persecuted, and you want to talk about a priesthood. And you want to take us into the deep mysteries of the faith. And you want to challenge us that way. We don't need that. We need milk. We've never heard any of that, have we? This is what we've lived in American Christianity. And what he was describing is that kind of attitude has a hardening effect on your spiritual arteries. We're all concerned about our actual arteries, right? What about your spiritual arteries? So we left off with this great call. Foundational doctrines, which is kind of amazing. You know what the foundational doctrines are that you should move on and growth from is justification and it's sanctification, were really the categories that we looked at, and eternal judgment. And resurrection. Those are the foundational milk doctrines that we grow in understanding the Word of God. Which shows how much the point is so many Christians need the milk, which should be mature Christians and have been mature Christians, because they haven't grown in these truths. But if anyone it should be pressing on in growth to maturity, he's saying to these Hebrew Christians who had the scriptures and had the history and had the tradition, it should be you. You know, this is like playing with fire. So he moves now to the worst possible outcome. I want you to look now at the most challenging verse, I think one of the most challenging in the scriptures to understand. Although I think the overall picture is really clear. I think you can get lost in some of the detail here, but notice this. For it is impossible in the case of those, this is verse 4, who have once been enlightened and who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they're crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. What a verse. I think it's important to notice here something in the way that the author's speaking. Did you notice how he speaks to them, how he changes persons here? He'll come back in verse 9 and say, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel of sure of better things. But here he's speaking, you notice, moves to the second. He says, but in the case of those, I think that's a really crucial point that he's making here. There is always this challenge of speaking to the entire church here today. You know this. This is the challenge of preaching. Everyone here comes into what we call the sphere of these blessings, covenant blessings of God. You're a covenantal body. Everyone here has entered what we call the administration of the covenant of base, covenant of grace. By baptism, you entered into the family of God, and you're identified with Him. But there's always been a certain problem and challenge in this arrangement, in this life, that people, even though we have a visible community that we see, that they only remain visibly in it. Only externally by baptism, being raised in covenant families. But it doesn't automatically mean that you have internally believed and entered this relationship. In other words, what does the Bible say? True internal salvation is a matter of what? The heart. By regeneration. I say this to my kids. I say, listen, there are believers and there are make-believers. And make-believers are sometimes very hard to see. I can't read hearts. I don't know where everyone is today. There might be some, as one pastor said, are just loitering around the church. There might be some are just hanging around the church. But they're here. And they're listening. But they haven't really taken it inward yet. I've told you this. I believe this was the case with my own father. That for years he sat in the church and we didn't see that real work of him internally taking it in by the regenerating work of the Spirit till later in life. But he was at the worship services. We saw a real change in him. That was my own father. I saw that. That's an important thing to think about, isn't it? Coming to church is just to pop in the Wilhelmina and head on out, right? And if you get three Wilhelminas, it's been too long of a sermon. The author knows this is a problem. And he's working to root that out. That there might be the possibility of somebody sitting in church after all these years of whom Jesus will say on the last day, I never knew you. He doesn't want that. And in this case of those, he doesn't believe that. He sees that as an awful scenario. He sees that as the worst scenario. But there are markers of that. They're fruit. And he's seeing some bad fruits in the community that are leading him to address this ultimate problem. What are the fruits that we've looked at that are bad fruits in the community? Apathy to the Word of God. They never read it. They're not interested in it. Indifference to the Word of God. Regression. They had all these convictions. It would be like, you know, here's the Heidelberg, here's the canons. You had all this deep theological conviction, and you say, just throw it out. Why do we need all that stuff? You were given a heritage. How could you do that? Of truth, a deposit. He sees that as awful. Those are fruits he's concerned about, bad fruits. And Jesus spoke of the parable of the soils this way. Stony hearts, thorny hearts, hard hearts, and then soft hearts. All within the sphere of the covenant where the gospel's preached. Now, there's an important distinction he's making here. He's not advancing any idea that any one of God's children could lose their salvation. Let me make that really clear here. He's not saying that at all. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the fact that many stumble in many ways. And we're not talking about breaking God's law today. All of us depart from God at times with sins in our lives that we shouldn't do. And we do all kinds of things we shouldn't do. You know, people have fallen into sins that we think aren't as bad, gossip and these sort of things, and they fall into worse sins, adultery and fornication and drunkenness. And sometimes people live in these things for a while. What is God always calling us to do with sin? Confess it. And what will he do? Forgive you? He says, I'll forgive all your sins. I mean, that's what the gospel is all about. That's why we come to church, to receive an announcement of forgiveness. You see why we read the law? I emphasize that. Because that's what he wants to do for you, is encourage you in your forgiveness. But here, he's presenting a certain kind of situation. Somewhat hypothetical, but he believes can happen. It's the worst possible outcome in the covenant community. It's the worst possible scenario of a trajectory which those bad fruits would ultimately lead. There's a path where apathy and indifference and regression, what would be the worst possible outcome from that? Well, in the case of those, it's apostasy. There are those in the kingdom who were once enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They become partakers. Notice the language is so specific here, not absolute. They were not regenerated. They were partakers, and they tasted. They didn't digest. They were partakers of the Spirit, of the good word of God. They sat under all this wonderful good word of God that was preached to them week in, week out, Sunday school teachers, all this good word. Voss calls it, Gerhardus Voss calls it a sphere of consciousness that everyone has in this. Members of the visible body of Christ. There was an enlightening effect. That doesn't mean regenerating. The truth of the gospel was preached and it was wonderful. They experienced many good gifts. They experienced from their third grade Sunday school teacher a lot of love along the way. They experienced all these teachers in the church and blessings of people who cared about them. And you know, who were willing to talk to them about their faith and who would pray for them when they didn't even know. They were what Paul says in Romans 9 of Israel. They had the adoption, the glory, the giving of the law, the covenants, all this. He's describing a people like Israel who went from Egypt to Canaan, and they get all the way up to the border of the land and they said, we're going back. We're done. We give up on all this. Somebody came up to recently and said, you know, after studying that in Hebrews, how could Israel, seeing all that, a marvelous work of the Lord, not believe? It's a marvel. It's the same point. We've seen God's power. Who can deny it in the lives of all you people who he's changed, who love, who serve? We're going to get there. And it's changed them through and through.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.